Look, it certainly exceeded all of my reasonable expectations. I mean, when you publish a novel, when you're an aspiring writer, your dream is to see your novel in a bookshop. I don't know many aspiring writers who see much beyond that, and I certainly didn't. And once that happened, it was just extraordinary that it just kept rolling.
And prior to writing books, or the very first Rosie project, you were working in computers, completely different area.
Yeah, I was a technology background, and I ended up running a business that did consulting work in that area.
And then what made you decide to say enough of that, it's time to write? Because you were 50 when you began work on the project.
I was 50 when I changed my life, so to speak, yeah. Mm. I read a book by Joe Queen, an American film critic, about how he made a very low-budget movie with no real experience. And I thought, that sounds like incredible fun. And my wife and I and a whole bunch of friends made a 90-minute feature film shot on our handy cam, and it was truly awful. But I did the screenplay, adapting an unpublished novel that my wife had written. Anne Buist, she's actually a writer now herself. And I got the bug. I got the screenwriting bug. I got some positive feedback about it. So I did what you obviously do. You sell your business, quit your job, go back to school and learn to do it properly.
Mm. And I've read that you took it as seriously as your previous career, that work ethic.
Look, the single thing I learned from my previous career, the single most important thing, was how hard you have to work, or how long it takes to get good at something. And I realised that time was running out. I was getting older, that I was going to have to work reasonably hard. So it wasn't about some virtuous work ethic. It was just a realistic appreciation that of how much work I would need to do before I was able to compete, if you like. On the Hollywood scene, I was looking to have a movie made. I started off writing The Rosie Project as a screenplay.
I'm just thinking about the grand sort of nature of that ambition, you know, Graham. It's I'm going to write the screenplay for Hollywood, and this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, and here I am in the sort of first couple of weeks of the course at RMIT, and we had to stand up and talk about our ambitions, and everybody else was wanting to get a job on Neighbours and this sort of thing, and I said, I want to make this big Hollywood movie and so forth. And I was working very hard at it, and lots of fun things were happening. I was getting short films on the ABC and, you know, on all that sort of stuff. And the head of the school took me aside and said, Graham, you do understand that this ambition of yours, you seem to be working so hard for, it's still very, very unlikely. And are you going to be okay? I think she thought I might top myself or something. And I said, look, I've got to tell you, Claire, I'm having an absolute ball here. This journey is so wonderful. Seeing a play on at the State Theatre, all those sorts of things that I don't really expect to get the movie made. And let me tell you, it hasn't been made yet. But I'm having an enormous time along the way. And, of course, now I've got deviated down the novel writing path, and I'm thoroughly enjoying that life.
Are you a writer that approaches books with pure chaos? You know, let's just see what happens, don't need a roadmap? Or do you prefer to plot, or to plan the plot and the premise and the characters, and get the little sticky notes out and have your end destination, I guess, marked very clearly?
Now, you might remember the introduction about me coming out of a computing background. So would you like to guess?
Okay. Not interested in the chaos.
I'm a very methodical writer. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't times when you're quite disorganised. So with this book, I just wrote scenes on cards and threw them into a pile, and that was 12 months of doing that, of just looking for inspiration, thinking, oh, yes, we could have a scene where they go to the sex education night or whatever, and say, yep, that one's down. And when I had that enormous pile of cards, I then started selecting and sorting until I had a picture of how the story would go. And then I'm not smart enough to make it up as I go along. I'm only smart enough to do one thing at a time. So plot it first, then write it, then edit it, one after the other.
Fantastic. And you've said that this is it. This is goodbye, Don, goodbye, Rosie. Love you, but now it's time to move on.
Yes, almost. Certainly, I intend it to be the last Don and Rosie novel, but I am under a certain amount of pressure from my publisher now, because a few people have said, you know, this standardised meal system of Don's, we'd love a recipe book that shows how you actually do it. And so there's just the slight possibility that I might write the Don Tillman standardised meal system book, fully annotated by Don with comments about, you know, about vegans and ecology and so forth.
Yeah. I thought you might but you'll have a break in there to possibly do another big bushwalk or something? Will you trot off and go for another walk?
Well, my partner and I, my wife and I, are not bushwalkers because that sort of implies some sort of hardship and, you know, shorts and hairy knees and all those sorts of things. No, we are sort of pub to pub or pensione to pensione walkers, and we're planning to walk from central France to Rome. I mean, we did the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, the famous pilgrim walks in France and Spain, so about 2,000 kilometres a few years back, and that was the basis for our book, our combined book, Two Steps Forward, which has been really popular. For some people, it's the book they like the most, and it's clearly inspired a lot of people to walk the Camino.